As I mentioned back at the beginning, it is a script that was used by Suspense and Radio City Playhouse, which I think you could say had a somewhat softer touch, picked it up as one of their darker scripts, perhaps, in which we meet Dr. Wybrow as he walks a New York street on his way to murder. There's the Green Point Strangler in this story about random choices. Choices, random, you might say, as haddock versus herring, and whom to murder. The hands of Dr. Ottermole and Radio City Playhouse for tonight come to us from May 2nd, 1949.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 35. Tonight, we bring you a story that we, in common with many others who are far better qualified to judge, believe to be one of the finest mysteries ever written. The author is Thomas Burke, and the title, well, perhaps it might reveal too much too soon to those of you who prefer to solve your own mysteries. So, rather than deprive you of that pleasure, we'll save the title for later and simply introduce our story tonight as Attraction 35 on Radio City Playhouse.
Charlie.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, the boss is screaming for you.
Yeah, well, I'll see him in a minute. I got something to take care of first.
Hello?
Hazel, this is Charlie.
Oh, darling, I've been so frightened for you. Where are you now?
I'm in my office at the paper. I just got back.
You all right?
I'm all right.
Down.
No, don't, dear.
Did you get the story?
I got the story. I'm going to write it now.
Darling, you sound strange. You're sure you're all right?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'll call you when I'm finished.
Please hurry.
I will. Bye, dear.
Charlie.
What?
You're the best newspaper man in New York, and I love you.
It was so easy. I knew now how easy it must have been for him. I had just walked in and sat down. No one noticed a thing. Not even old Horseface at the city desk. My hands trembled a little as I reached for the phone again. Aside from that, no one would ever dream that 15 minutes before, I had killed a man.
Hello, is this the morgue? Sam, this is Mr. Charles. I'm in my office. I want the complete file of clips on the Green Point Strangler. All the stories I've written here. I want to write an obituary. Maybe my own. I lit a cigarette. In a few seconds, Sam would bring the files, and there they'd be, all my stories laid out before me, starting with the first one. I remember writing it. A feature piece about a man. A walking man. The Wybrow Murder by Richard Charles, New York, January the 6th. At 6 o'clock last evening, a wretched evening of damp and fog, Mr. Alfred Wybrow was walking home through the cobweb alleys of the Greenpoint section. He walked slowly, head down, as if pondering some pressing trouble. But Mr. Wybrow had no troubles, not yet. He walked slowly because his feet were aching, and the only problem on his mind was whether to take home some halibut or some herring for supper.
Paper, get your evening paper. Oh, evening, Mr. Wybrow.
Good evening, Martin.
Here's your paper, sir.
Thank you. Anything exciting in the news tonight?
Nothing but talk of war. Don't know how they expect us to sell our papers. We haven't had a good crime story in weeks.
Too bad. Well, maybe tomorrow your luck will change, and we'll be enjoying a fine, juicy murder.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, good night, Mr. Wybrow.
Good night.
You're right, Mr. Wybrow. There will be a murder, but I doubt if you will enjoy it. Walk on now and hurry, Mr. Wybrow. It's too miserable a night for anyone to be out. And at home there's a warm, gas-lit kitchen and a table all laid for your evening supper. No wonder your step is quickening at such a pleasant prospect. But you aren't going to get that supper this evening or any other evening. Tonight, Mr. Wybrow, you are going to die. Would you like to know why? Well, stop here where the corner streetlight casts its greasy sparkle on the pavement. Stop, look, and listen before you cross the street. Especially listen. Hear that, Mr. Wybrow? Somewhere there in the fog, another man is walking. His footsteps coming closer to you. Well, go on now. Don't wait to see who he is. For just now, a thought has come into this man's mind. A sudden, strange desire to kill somebody. And that is the reason, Mr. Wybrow, you will never live to taste another herring.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's you, Mr. Wybrow.
Yeah.
What'll it be?
Wife told me to bring some herring or halibut home for supper. Halibut look good tonight?
Passable, sir, but if I was you, I'd try the haddock instead.
All right. Pound of haddock, then.
Well, that'll be 50 cents.
In just a minute, and I find where I put my money.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Wybrow. No hurry. Just take your time.
Yes. Take your time, Mr. Wybrow. No hurry at all. Death will still be waiting for you when you step outside. The man hidden there in the fog has picked you out with the same blind choice that made you choose the haddock, not herring, for your supper. And since he has no fear of God or man, he's going to murder you and then go home to his supper. There you go now, Mr. Wybrow. You and your following phantom. Two nebulous dabs of mortality. One to kill, the other to be killed. Walk on, Mr. Wybrow. And as you walk, look for the last time at the familiar features of your neighborhood. Don't hurry. For the slower you walk, the longer you will breathe the green air of this January dusk. Closer now your shadow of massacre moves. He's only a few yards behind you now. Can't you hear something in those footfalls, Mr. Wybrow? Can't you hear them almost shrieking something at you?
Murderer. Murderer.
No. There's nothing in footsteps. They all sound the same. But those footsteps are bearing on to you a pair of hands. Of large white hands that even now are stretching their muscles in preparation for your end. Another minute, Mr. Wybrow, and you will know all about the horror of human hands. Well, you're almost home now, turning into your own street, you and your pursuing phantom. It's growing darker, so hurry, Mr. Wybrow. Ah. There's your own front steps. Now, the door is locked. Your key. Hurry. There's no time for fumbling now. You're home. You're safe. You have a chance now. Shut the door quickly and bolt it tight. There. Well, it was a close thing, Mr. Wybrow. You'll never know how close.
That you, Fritz?
Yeah, it's me, dear. I brought you some haddock.
Bring it out to the kitchen, then. I'm just starting supper now.
Wait till I hang up my coat.
Anything exciting happen today?
No. Nothing exciting ever happens to me. Just a minute, Mabel, till I answer the door.
Don't do it, Mr. Whitebrow. Get away from that door. Don't touch it. Get out of the house, out the back way with the missus and over the fence. But don't touch that door, Mr. Whitebrow. Don't open that door.
Yes? Oh, good evening, sir. Is something the...
Another one of your tricks.
Now hold it, boys. Hold it. One question at a time.
All right, Sergeant. What time did you discover the body?
About 6:30 tonight. I was walking down the street checking my patrolman, just like I've been doing for 13 years, when I see the door to number 85 open. Naturally, I look in to see if everything's all right. And there, laying on the floor, I see this body, see? So I blew my whistle, and when Magwitch come, we searched the house. Found both of them strangled. Just like that.
Do you have any idea who did it?
That's well, all, Sergeant. I'll take over now.
All right, Inspector, then I'll ask you. Do you have any idea who the murderer was?
The publication? Not yet.
Well, then, do you have any theory about a motive for the murder?
Well, yes or no.
What does that mean?
Means maybe yes, maybe no.
Have you found any clues that might give you a lead?
If there are any, we'll find them.
Look, Inspector, what are you trying to build this up to? The perfect crime? Our paper sent us out here to get a story. How do you expect me to write a story without any facts?
That's your worry, not mine. You're so smart, you ought to be able to solve this case all by yourself.
Well, there was nothing to go on. No facts, no motive, nothing at all. But I had to get something. So I went back to the office and wrote the Walking Man story. And wondered if the city editor would pass it.
Yeah, not a bad story, Charles, but how do you know it happened this way?
Well, I don't, but the police didn't give us a thing. I don't think they know more about it than we do, so I dug up a couple of people who saw Wybrow on his way home.
They didn't see anyone following him, did they?
No, but it's a foggy night. It could have happened that way.
Well, all right, we'll take a chance on it then. On Charles.
Yes.
I'm going to leave you on this story and let you follow it up. I wouldn't mind throwing a hooker into the police right now. If you can stay ahead of them on this case, there'll be a bonus and a raise in it for you.
No, it's a deal.
All right. Start by interviewing the neighbors and see what you can dig up.
You say you lived next door to the Wybrows for 7 years, Mrs. Wesley?
7 years come January.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever notice
Mom,
anything...
Mom, I'm going now. Oh, excuse me.
Excuse me. This is my daughter, Nellie. This gentleman is a reporter from the Gazette.
Is it about Mr. Wybrow?
I'm afraid it is.
He was so nice.
Yes, so everyone says.
Excuse me, Mama. I'm due at St. Michael's.
Now, mind you now, come directly home. Ask Patrolman Magwitch to walk with you.
I will, Mama.
Don't stop to chatter now.
I won't. Good night, Mama.
Have a nice time. Oh, I hate to let her go out after what's just happened.
Oh, no. She'll be all right. The police are all over Greenpoint tonight. The Strangler wouldn't dare show himself around here again. Well...
You're going to?
Yes, I've got to get back to my paper. Thank you, Mrs. Wesley, and don't worry about Nellie. She's as safe as she would be in church. I was wrong. Nellie Wesley was not actually dead until 2 minutes later. But she was as good as dead from the moment she left her mother's door. Somebody resembling a man began to walk after her. Walk, Nellie Wesley. Walk and listen. Don't you hear them? Listen. It's growing darker and wisps of fog begin to curl in the alleyways. Ah, you hear them now. A set of footsteps following after yours. Yes, you hear them. And your heart beats faster. You begin to hurry. Now you're certain they're following you. You walk faster. Faster. But they're catching up to you. He's close now. He's right behind you. Turn around, Nellie. Turn around.
Oh. Oh. I was so frightened. I thought for a minute you were the strike.
Hello, baby. Sorry I'm late.
You look tired, Charlie.
I am.
Want me to have the waiter bring you some coffee?
No, I couldn't.
Charlie, what's the matter?
Did you read my story tonight on the Wybrow murder?
Yes. Charlie, I thought it was awfully good.
Too good.
What do you mean?
About an hour ago, I was interviewing Wybrow's next-door neighbor. She had a daughter. Pretty kid, about 13.
Oh? Competition?
Isn't funny, Hazel. She's dead.
Sorry.
I was there almost as soon as the police. I saw her face. I could have stopped that.
Charlie, don't be silly.
No, it's true, Hazel. I left the house right after her. She was still in sight. I knew the streets were dangerous. I said to myself, should I walk with her? And then I said, no, she'll be all right. And I have to get back to the paper, just like that. I went the other way. A minute later, I heard the police sergeant's whistle. And there she was. All I had to do was walk with her.
Charlie, stop it.
I thought to myself, what kind of a monster could do a thing like this?
Charlie, why don't you drop this story? Ask the paper to put another reporter on it. It's getting too dangerous now.
Oh, but baby, this is my biggest chance.
Chance for what? Chance to get killed? I don't like the idea of your wandering around those streets at night. What's to prevent you from being killed?
Oh, now cut it out, Hazel.
Is this what it's going to be like when we're married?
Well, if I don't do a job on this story, we won't have anything to get married on.
Charlie, I don't care. Please, drop the story for me.
But it's for you that I'm sticking.
You really think that?
No, I suppose not. It's got me. One look at that kid's face tonight, and I swore I'd find out who was doing it.
You see what I mean? Let it go, Charlie.
I can't. A long time ago, I decided to be a reporter. Well, now I am a reporter, and this is my chance to break into the big time. I can't quit, Hazel. I can't. I went back to Greenpoint on the prowl that night. And every night for a week, nothing happened. But you could feel a sense of near panic in the air. The police were completely stymied. Everybody was waiting, just waiting. They seemed to know the killer would strike again.
Magwitch.
What? Oh, hiya, Sarge.
All quiet?
All quiet so far.
Seen anyone?
Just that reporter.
Heavy fog tonight.
Yeah.
Whistle if you see anyone suspicious. I've got Coleman stationed at the other end of the block so no one can get out without passing one of you. Walk toward each other and cross every 10 minutes.
Right.
Keep an eye out.
Right. Who's there? That you, Coleman? Come on, speak up. I can see you. Come closer. I've got a gun on you. Walk toward me. Walk. Well, why didn't you say it was you? Almost scared me out of my wit. Ah!
Patrolman Magwitch was the fourth victim of the Greenpoint Strangler. I covered that one, too. I covered them all. They were something more than murders. They were motiveless. There was an air of black magic about them. Each one was committed when the streets were empty of any perceptible murderer. There would be an empty alley. There would be a policeman at its end. He would turn his back to the empty alley for a second, and then he would look around and run into the night with news of another strangling. The police would throw a cordon around the area and search all the houses, but no murderer would be found. Each time, it was as if he'd vanished into thin air. It was driving me crazy.
Drink your tea, Charlie. I refuse to talk about murders tonight.
I just don't understand it. He
can't just vanish.
You have a curled-up nose, like a teddy bear I once owned.
Murder is a human. They have substance.
Long eyelashes.
There must be some clue.
And your hair won't stay put.
Some logic to this.
In fact, you're a very cute fella.
Oh, Hazel, be serious.
Darling, I see you so seldom these days. Must we?
What?
Talk about murders.
I'm sorry, baby. This blasted case has gotten me to the point where I see bodies when I dream, when I eat.
Charlie.
What?
Give it up.
Oh, no, we've been through that before.
I can't take much more of it. Every night I sit alone and wonder, what's he doing now? Is he safe? Is he being followed by someone? Will I open my paper tomorrow to see the headline screaming, reporter strangled? If being a reporter's wife is going to be like that, I'm afraid I can't...
Well, it can't go on like this, darling. After all, this series is making me. I'm in for a raise.
It sounds wonderful, but I'd rather not wait for it.
You really want me to quit, don't you?
Yes, I do. Oh, Charlie, I do. You needn't burn up the world in a week, darling. I can wait. I love you. Please.
Well, maybe you're right.
Oh, Charlie.
Come on, let's find the waiter and go.
Check, sir.
Yes, yes, please. Now, where the devil did that waiter come from?
He's been standing next to us for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I never even noticed him. Wait a minute.
What's the matter now?
Holy smokes.
What is it?
Hazel, I know who the murderer is. At least I think I do.
What?
That waiter.
Waiter?
No, not the waiter, but he gave me the idea. Hazel, the murderer doesn't run away at all.
I don't understand.
He doesn't run away. He just stands there. He just stands there and nobody notices him.
Charlie, where are you going?
To find the murderer and ask him a question.
Charlie, no. Call the police. Tell them about it.
I don't dare. What I'm thinking is so fantastic, they'd laugh me right out of town. I've got to find this out for myself.
But not alone. Charlie, you might be killed.
No, I'll be all right, Hazel. I've got a gun.
Oh, Charlie. Oh, Charlie.
I walked with a kind of excitement I hadn't known since I was a boy. When I reached the Greenpoint section, the fog had blanketed the streets. It curled into my nostrils and eyes. The street was empty. I strained my ears for a sound, but I heard nothing except the pounding of my own heart. At the corner of an alley, I stopped a moment. Was my mind playing tricks, or did I hear something? Yes. Through the fog, I could hear a set of footsteps approaching. The acoustics of the street played tricks on my senses for a moment. I couldn't tell which direction they were coming from. And then...
Here now. What are you up to prowling the streets at this hour? Oh. It's you.
Good evening, Sergeant.
You ought to know it ain't safe to be walking alone here.
I do know. But I had some thinking to do.
Well, do your thinking at home where you'll be safe.
Sergeant, I can't stop thinking about this case. I guess you've thought a lot about it, too.
Well, yes, of course. It's my duty.
Well, then tell me. Has anyone ever seen this murderer?
Not as I know.
Yet he must be there.
That's for certain.
Then answer me this, Sergeant. What sort of a person do we all see every day? Always standing around, always at every crime, and yet we never really notice him because he's part of the scenery.
Now, how would I know? The way I see it, a murderer can be anybody, even you. You're always prowling around.
And do you suspect me?
I suspect everybody. Any more silly questions?
Just one.
Well?
Sergeant Ottermole, why did you kill all those innocent people? Sergeant Ottermole, stand back. I have a gun. Well, Sergeant?
To tell the truth, I don't know, Mr. Charles. In fact, I've been worried about it myself. But I got an idea I have. Everybody knows we can't control the working of our minds, don't they?
So they say.
Yet they expect us to control our bodies. That's funny, ain't it? After all, we get our minds from the Lord knows where. From people who are dead hundreds of years.
Go on.
Suppose we get our bodies the same way. Well, it couldn't be that parts of our bodies aren't really us. That they really belong to other people. And other people's ideas come into them all of a sudden.
Good Lord, man, you're really insane.
Couldn't it be, say, that ideas would come into my hands.
Like this. Let go. Come into my hands. Like all of the others.
Hands are no match for a gun, Sergeant. Not even hands with ideas, Sergeant Nathamole. I came right to the paper. I wanted to get the story in before anyone knew, even the police. I sat down and started to write. My hands trembled a little. I killed the Greenpoint Strangler. An exclusive story by Richard Charles. Less than 1 hour ago, in self-defense, I shot and killed the murderer of four defenseless people. Before he died, he confessed to me that he... Hazel.
I couldn't wait. I had to come right over. Oh, darling, you are all right.
Well, sure. Didn't you believe me?
Sounded so strange. Did you get the story?
I'm writing it now. You take a look.
Less than an hour ago, I killed... Charlie.
There it is. I haven't told anyone yet. Well, what do you say?
I don't know what to say. I'm stunned.
Boy, this story will make history. Huh?
Here are those clippings, Mr. Charles.
Thanks, Sam. Put them there.
Plenty of excitement on this Greenpoint Strangler, huh?
What do you mean?
He's got a flash. He's killed another victim.
What?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's impossible. Who?
Some police sergeant. A guy named Ottermole.
Ottermole?
Yeah, it's the second cop that he's knocked off. Police are really on the warpath now. They posted a new reward already. $10,000 for the murderer of Ottermole. $10,000, dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
Hazel, we're rich.
Charlie, you can't write that story.
What?
I said you can't write that story.
Honey, are you crazy?
No, but you are if you don't realize what you're doing.
What do you mean? I found the strangler, didn't I?
Charlie, think. Who would believe you? Where's your evidence?
But he told me himself.
Did anyone hear him?
No, but...
And no one saw you?
No.
Then who's going to believe you? Not the police.
Oh, but Hazel...
Where were you when the murders were committed? Prowling around, always first on the scene. Charlie, it's no good. You can't admit that you killed Ottermole.
But it was self-defense. Hazel, you believe me, don't you?
Yes, but they won't call it that. They'll think it's murder. They'll think you're the strangler. Don't you see they've already made up their minds? If you sign that story, you'll be signing your own death warrant.
I wanted an exclusive, and I got it. What a laugh. So exclusive, I don't even dare write it.
Tear it up, Charlie. No one must ever know.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What do you think? I got to write something.
Yes, but what?
I'm writing a eulogy. The murderer has struck again. Tonight, one of New York's finest, Police Sergeant Ottermole, bravely met a hero's death in the line of duty while attempting to capture the Greenpoint Strangler.
I've just heard The Hands of Mr. Ottermole by Thomas Burke, Attraction 35 on Radio City Playhouse. Now giving credit where credit is due for tonight's performance, The Hands of Mr. Ottermole was adapted for Radio City Playhouse by George Lefferts. John Larkin was featured as Richard Charles, the reporter. Delly Ellis was heard as Hazel, and Edwin Jerome as Sergeant Ottermole. Music was composed by Dr. Roy Shield and conducted by Joseph Garner. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonough. Bob Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
A story about a journalist, some choices, and murder. The Hands of Dr. Ottermole, Radio City Playhouse, from May 2nd, 1949. Get ready to walk the streets of Chicago by night with Randy Stone as old-time radio drama continues with Nightbeat here on the Ideas Network of WPR.